Welcome back. You have found another episode of Agents of Providence. I am Doyle Burbank Williams. The purpose of this podcast is to explore some issues, to help us imagine what it would be like to be a force of good out in this often troubling and perilous world. We are in the middle of a series that I've entitled What We Share Connects Us. We're exploring those things that we hold in common, the things that help create community among us. And what we're exploring today is the idea of a shared welcome, that somehow hospitality is one of the things, especially in this hostile world, that creates a very, very different kind of community. So we hope that you will stay with us this morning. We're going to look at an episode from the 8th chapter of the book of Acts as our ancient jumping off place, and then see where that takes us in today's world. Thanks for joining us, and let's listen to what we find in Acts 8. Acts 8, 26 through 39. An angel from God spoke to Philip. At noon, take the road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now this is a desert road. And so he did. Meanwhile, an Ethiopian was on their way home from Jerusalem where they had come to worship. This one was a eunuch and an official responsible for the entire treasury of Candace. Candace is the title given to the Ethiopian queen. They were reading the prophet Isaiah while sitting in their carriage. The Spirit told Philip, "Approach this carriage and stay with it." And so running up to the carriage, Philip heard the person reading the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, "Do you really understand what you're reading?" The eunuch replied, "Without someone to guide me, how could I?" Then they invited Philip to climb up and sit with them. And this was the passage of Scripture being read. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he didn't open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was taken away from him. Who can tell the story of his descendants, because his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, about whom does the prophet say this? Is he talking about himself or someone else?" Starting with that passage, Philip proclaimed the good news about Jesus to them. As they went down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, "Look, water. What would keep me from being baptized?" They ordered the carriage to halt. Both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water where Philip baptized them. When they came up out of the water, God's Spirit suddenly took Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on their way rejoicing. In the movie The Way, the main character, by the name of Tom, finds himself unexpectedly walking the 500-mile-long Camino de Santiago de Compostela. One time, he decides to pull off the main route, and rest for the night, even though the larger city is just a couple miles farther along. When he goes into the courtyard of the posada, the proprietor jumps up from the table, which is already filled with guests, and with a big, genuine smile exclaims, "Welcome! Welcome! We were expecting you!" Tom is a bit confused because he had just decided to turn aside there. You are a peregrino, yes? The proprietor asks. A pilgrim? We are always expecting pilgrims. And with that, Tom is made a place at the crowded table, served food, and welcomed into the ongoing conversation. Now, there have been a few times in my life where I felt like I stumbled in on a situation where, unbeknownst to me, it felt like I'd been expected. That kind of welcome can change a foul mood, transform a bad impression, and plant seeds of joy that might blossom in some further season. I think our current culture makes us presume that most unplanned-for arrivals will be met with hostility. Just this last week, the news reported how a 16-year-old black youth was shot for knocking on the wrong door. In this kind of world, practicing extravagant kinds of welcome is both an act of faith and the most precious kind of gift. I can only imagine how hostile today's American atmosphere must feel for those who are transgender. Portrayed as predators, as charlatans, as moral corruption, transgender folk are being threatened daily both physically and legislatively. I'm not sure what the current figure is, but recently it was said that there are more than 500 pieces of anti-transgender legislation that have been put forth in 47 states. And this week, Congress in Washington debated their own version of this hate speak. I'm told of transgender people here in our own state who no longer feel safe. So much for Nebraska nice. Now, this couple would move someplace safer if they could figure out where that was. This story from the book of Acts takes on layers of relevance in this current time. The main character is referred to as a eunuch. Born male at birth, this person's sexuality was surgically altered, presumably in that day, to make them a safe person around the person of the queen. When Acts was written, there was no word for transgender. Now, I edited the version of that story that we heard. I intentionally used gender-neutral pronouns for the Ethiopian because of their ambiguous gender. Whether the story is told with that kind of sensitivity or not, the point of the story is that the Ethiopian's gender status is an issue. This one was returning from Jerusalem where they had, quote-unquote, come to worship. Now, we're not told exactly what happened there, but knowing Hebraic law gives us a clue. Knowing that the Ethiopian is a eunuch is important if you know what Deuteronomy 23:1 says. Now, for those of us who have not memorized Deuteronomy, it says, "He who is emasculated by crushing or mutilation shall not enter the assembly of God." Most modern translations are somewhat more graphic in their language, and so I chose the version from the New King James because it's a little more circumspect. But clearly, Deuteronomy says that eunuchs are not allowed to worship God. It seems likely that the Ethiopian had been turned away at the temple. I imagine this scene where the Ethiopian is reading through the sacred text on their way home, probably trying to figure out why a God who wants to be worshipped would turn away one who wants to worship. And God goes out of the way to answer. An angel sends Philip down to the desert road to meet this exact person. After spending what seems like a good deal of time sharing what Philip knows about the good news of Jesus, the Ethiopian is grabbed by it. stopping the carriage by some water. I'm guessing that they asked a question that could easily have had a negative answer. "Here is water," says the Ethiopian. "What is to prevent me from being baptized, from being included in the family of Christ?" Presumably, they already knew the answer from Deuteronomy. But Philip doesn't say a word. He lets his actions answer the question. Hand in hand, the two of them go hip deep in the water by the road, and Philip baptizes them. It is almost as if Philip exclaimed, "We were expecting you." Every week, New Visions begins our worship by reminding everyone that we are creating a safe place to tell your story. We proclaim that the good news of Christ honors and celebrates the differences God has created in all of us. Now, I confess that not every iteration of our congregation was able to say that. It is a part of our spiritual evolution that we can say that today. Our Bible still contains Deuteronomy 23:1, but like Philip, we are ready to join God's beloved children in the roadside waters. It's a life-changing act of hospitality to speak someone's living name, to make space for them at our table, and in word and deed exclaim to them, "We were expecting you." Now, I feel like I need to be clear here. Those who have been threatened by our society especially need to experience that kind of expansive welcome. But we do not reserve our hospitality just for LGBTQ plus folk. We practice this expansive welcome to every one of God's children we encounter. Whether it's someone who has spent 50 or more years sitting in our pews, or someone we've never laid eyes on before, no matter who it is, no matter who we are, "We were expecting you. Welcome." New Visions is a safe place to share your story, your entire story, your whole story, whoever you may be. And so, some questions to ponder. When might it be uncomfortable for you to welcome a stranger? How can enacting extravagant hospitality be a subversive act in our day and age? How does being a follower of Jesus challenge our society's sense of acceptability? When do you need to feel welcomed? And who do you know who needs to be deeply welcomed? Thank you for spending this little bit of time together. I hope that maybe this allows you to ask some questions of the world that we're living in, and maybe a hint or two toward the ways that we can become those agents of providence, bringing love and hope and good into this hurting world. Again, I am Doyle Burbank Williams, the pastor of New Visions United Methodist in Lincoln, Nebraska. Go do some good. Be a source of love.